Welcome to Charted Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate to the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, What Did Jesus Mean? Blessed Are the Pure in Heart.
God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you this week from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. We're continuing our sermon series on Jesus' Beatitudes, which is also called the Sermon on the Mount because Jesus preached it on a mountain. And so let's ascend those slopes again with Jesus. Go up to those higher elevations, up into the tops of the mountain where we sit down again with Jesus and hear Him preach to us about the kingdom of God, His kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. So we've done the first five Beatitudes so far. We're on the sixth one, verse 8. We'll read verses 1 and then verse 8. Seeing the crowds, He went up on the mountain. And when He sat down, His disciples came to Him, and He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, verse 8, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So let's talk about that one today and see what Jesus means to teach us, what He aims to teach us about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, His kingdom and the worlds to come in this beatitude. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What can we learn about the kingdom through this one? Well, the first thing we know, Kevin, we know this one, don't we?
Macarius.
He even jumped ahead of the question. What's the word for blessed in Greek? It's makarios, which means blessed, happy, and joyful are you when you are what? When you are pure, Jesus says, pure of heart. And so the first thing we see here is Jesus is declaring to us a blessing about the kingdom. Namely, the kingdom of God belongs to such as these, those who are pure of heart. And what is the promise? The great promise here is they'll see God. Now, in that, we can think this is absolutely amazing, that if you are pure of heart, you get to actually see the literal face of God shining in all glory one day when He comes. Job said that in the Old Testament. I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last, He will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, then from my flesh resurrected, in other words, I shall see God, whom I shall see on my side, and I shall behold Him and not another. That's the great hope we have if we are pure of heart. So number one, He's declaring to us a blessing here. But second, we notice that Jesus is emphasizing something here that man often overlooks. And what is that? He says, blessed are the pure in heart. Namely, that He's emphasizing something we often overlook, which is the heart. We look on the outward appearance of things, but Jesus is looking at the inner, the cardia in the Greek, from which you get words like cardio. I'm going to go do my cardio workout for the heart, or a cardiologist is a doctor for the heart. Jesus says you got to be pure in heart, in cardia, to see God. And of course, He's not talking here about a physical heart. He's talking about our spiritual heart. And what is our spiritual heart? It's the absolute center of who we are, down deep, the real you, the seat or headquarters, the essence of out of which flows all of your thoughts and words and actions. It's the seat of your desires, your heart, your passions, your affections, your thoughts, your innermost being. Namely, it is the center of you. And what does God want for us there? Is that we be pure. Let me get a pure glass of water, that we look like this, like a pure water as from a pristine, fresh mountain stream, perfectly pure in heart. That's what God is after with us. And we see that theme in all of Scripture. Proverbs 4, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Also, we see in Deuteronomy 4, it says, only take heed and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your hearts all the days of your life. So what's God after with us? Our heart, not just the outward stuff. We read, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I'll punish all those who are circumcised, yet uncircumcised." Namely, all the Jews, the house of Israel, God says, are uncircumcised in heart. Yeah, physically they got it, but spiritually, their heart, no. It's the heart God is after. And here's the great promise of Psalm 24. It says, "Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place?" In other words, who's going to go to heaven and see him there? "He who has clean hands and a pure heart," says Psalm 24. So is your heart pure? That's what God is after with us, a pure heart. Let's take a look at what an impure heart would be. Here's another glass of water. And I have here, Vivian, this is okay, it's just, I always pick on you. Every sermon I pick on her. But look, a little bit of dye here we'll put into this pure water. Look what happened to the pure water. It's no longer pure because something's been added to it, right? What if this were poison? Would you drink that? Let's put a little more and let's add a little bit of red too, a little drop of more sin. You add the red, you add the blue dye, and look, it's just turning darker and more sinister and more wicked. And this is an impure heart. Look how it's changed. It's no longer a fresh mountain stream, pure and pristine. It is adulterated. It is polluted. It is sullied. It is spoiled. It is impure. So God is after with us a pure heart, one that looks like this and not like one that looks like this black liquid here. Therefore, David cries out, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Do you cry out like that for God? For a pure heart? God, give me a pure heart, as David cried. So why did Jesus just not say, "Blessed are the pure," rather than, you know, adding these words? Why did he see it necessary to say, "in heart"? You know why? Because back then, in Jesus' day, the tendency amongst religious people was to look at the outward appearance. They were striving for purity in Jesus' days religiously, but only in the outward appearance of purity. They were not looking at the inner purity of the heart, just the outer purity. And therefore, when the Pharisees and scribes came and they saw Jesus and his disciples going to eat, and they didn't first wash their hands and purify themselves according to Jewish tradition before they ate, they looked at Jesus and scoffed and scowled at him and said, "Why don't your disciples follow the traditions of the elders and purify themselves and wash their hands before they eat?" So they're being very nasty against Jesus, of course, and the disciples. How did Jesus take that? They say, "Oh, I'm so sorry. You're so right. We should have done that. My apologies, my bad." No. He rebuked them sharply and roared at them. He said, "Woe to you, Pharisees, scribes, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup, but inside you're full of everything unclean, all greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and of the plate, namely your heart, and then the outside also may be clean for you." So it was heating up, this discussion between Jesus and the scribes. They didn't like it. Did Jesus back off? Do you think he's that kind of guy? Just, "Oh, well, I'm really sorry." No, he laid into him even again, and further, and hotter. "Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within you're full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness." In other words, they were painted on the outside to look good, but inside it was just death. "Outwardly you appear righteous before men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and all iniquity." In other words, inside, this is what you look like, oh Pharisees, you must repent. So they didn't like that. But see, in those days, this is what they were after, purity. Okay, they were after purity, but only outwardly, the appearance of it. They counted the number of steps you could take on a Sabbath day. Little, you know, footstep or clicker. They could only count so many. That's purity, they said. You got to keep all the rituals of the temple, they said. You got to fast twice a week, they said. You got to keep the kosher dietary laws. You know, they couldn't eat shrimp. They couldn't eat pepperoni. And they couldn't eat a cheeseburger. You can't boil a kid in its mother's milk. So they kept the food stuff going. But he says, but you've neglected the weightier matters of the law. Justice and mercy and faith. These, Jesus says, therefore, he says to the apostles, hear and understand. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles you, but rather what comes out of your mouth. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's what's in your heart that counts. These are what defile a man. What you speak, for it comes from your heart. For to eat with unwashed hands doesn't defile you. For out of the heart, what comes but out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, and slander. You can see how important it was then for Jesus in this beatitude to tell his disciples, blessed are the pure in heart. Otherwise, they would have just been thinking, well, if I be like the Pharisees, I'll be pure and I'll see God. Jesus says, no, they're only clean on the outside. But inside, it's just death and every sin and evil. So you got to be clean on the inside. You got to look like a pure, fresh, pristine mountain stream in your heart, a pure heart before God. That's the one that'll see God when I come in all my glory. Do we need also, do you think, to be on guard against an outward show of religion? I mean, a lot of people can come to church on a Sunday, right? Dress in a suit and tie. Maybe not you guys. Got shorts and sandals, whatever. But you can give a tithe of your offerings. You can go to Sunday school, potlucks, like we're going to have today. Do the outward Christian observances, but is your heart in it? Is your heart pure before God? Jeremiah warns and declares, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately corrupt. Who can understand it? Right? And all the ways of a man are pure, pure in his own eyes. But the Lord, he weighs the spirit. And Jesus warns, many are going to say to me on the day when I come to judge the world, oh Lord, didn't we keep all these outward observances and even cast out demons and do these things? And I'll declare to them, depart from me, you workers of evil. For he sees into the heart. He searches hearts and minds. And who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, we say again. And who shall stand in his holy place? Who shall inherit the kingdom? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, he shall inherit the kingdom and see the Lord in his majesty on that day. So, is your heart pure? Does your heart look like this? The next thing we need to ask then is, what is a pure heart? What is that actually? What's it mean to be pure? Well, the word in the Greek Jesus uses for pure is katharos, from which we get an English word called cathartic. You ever heard of that word, cathartic? It means cleansing, right? The word katharos in the Greek means pure. Let your heart be pure and clear and clean before God. Unsullied, unspoiled, untainted with sin and evil, but absolutely crystal clear, like a spring, pure, clear water. That means then an honest heart, an upright heart, full of integrity, love, full of love and true and just, courageous and good, forthright, strong, righteous, holy, pure. This is actually the kind of heart God is after inside of you. Now, why is that? Answer, because this is what God's heart looks like in heaven. He's pure, he's clean, he's just, he's true, he's loving, he's holy, he's perfect, he's pure. And therefore, he wants you, if you're going to see him, to look like this. Remember what Paul says in the New Testament? He says, God himself dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has ever seen or can see. If you try to go to him looking like this dark glass of tainted, spoiled heart, evil soil, sullied heart, you're not even going to get close to him because he dwells in unapproachable light. If you would approach, your heart must be pure if you are to see the Lord. And so it's very important that we have a pure heart to inherit his kingdom, to approach God, and to see him on that day and live with him in his kingdom forever. So a pure heart, do you have one? We see a little problem developing here, don't you? Do you see a little dilemma? A little difficulty? A little trouble? The problem is when we look into our hearts and are actually honest, it actually looks more like this glass, amen? Sullied, tainted, spoiled, evil. For out of the heart come evil thoughts and adultery and lusts and things like that, says Jesus. Yeah, this is actually trouble. We're polluted. We are actually impure, which is a big problem, because guess what? If you don't have a pure heart, you're not going to see God or inherit his kingdom. And that's scary. Those who don't have a pure heart, guess what? They are going to be excluded. And mark that well. Excluded from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might when he comes to judge the world. They will not inherit the kingdom. They will never see God again. All they'll see ever is darkness in hell, actually. So we got a problem. As it says in Job, can mortal man be righteous before God? Can a man be pure before his maker? Even in his servants he puts no trust, and his angels he charges with error. How much more we who dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is dust, who are crushed before the moth. So how are you and I going to be pure in heart, actually, to see God? We're at a problem. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, says Proverbs 20, and that I am pure from my sin? Instead of approaching and running to God with a pure heart, actually, I think we'd rather cringe and run away from God, if we were honest, like Peter, when he realized he has the pure, clean Messiah in his very boat, and he falls and he says, depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. In other words, get away from me. I'm unclean to be in your presence. So what are we going to do? How can we get and go from this one, the impure heart, to a pure heart before God, which is what we need? Well, amazingly, listen to this, there's three steps. Isn't it amazing that you'd have three steps? Yeah, there's three steps. You want to hear the three? All right, the first step to go from the impure to the pure heart is to actually, strange as enough as it is, admit and confess before God that your heart is impure. Why would that be the first pure thing that you ever do? And God's starting to work purity in you. Well, it's because it's the first thing you ever say that's in agreement with God's judgment of you. Right? What's God's judgment of you? The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any that act wisely, that seek after God. Nope. They are all alike corrupt. They've all gone astray. There's no one who does good, not even one. So if you're impure and you confess you're impure, guess what? That's the first pure word you ever said, because that's in agreement with God and his judgments about you. And so that's purity starting to work in you, which is what? Another word for it is repentance. And that's a beautiful thing. How precious and great are you if you reach repentance? For the Proverbs 30 says, there are those who are pure in their own eyes, but who are not cleansed from their filth. They won't repent, and so they think they look this way, the good one, but really they look this way, the evil one, and they won't acknowledge it, and so they'll stay impure. But if you just acknowledge this one first, the impure, you're already on your way to a pure heart because you're agreeing with God. Amen? Step number one. You want step number two? It's the big one. You need step number two. Step number one won't save you. It's a good start, but step number two is what saves. Secondly, it is to call upon Jesus Christ to save you. Namely, to come to him by faith, calling on him to rescue you from your impurity, to cleanse you, and to make you pure through his own wondrous, precious blood. Namely, to save you through his cross and through his gospel. Can the gospel actually truly make you clean and pure before God? Well, hear this. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, says Proverbs, that I'm pure from my sin? Namely, you can't purify yourself. I can't do it. God must do it, and he has. Titus chapter 2, listen to this one. This is a good one. The grace of God has appeared for the salvation of all men, says St. Paul. Then he says, our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, listen carefully, gave himself for us to redeem us from all iniquity and to purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. Would you say the word purify with me?
Purify.
Does the blood of Jesus actually make you pure? Absolutely it does. For without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins, it says in Hebrews. Thus it was necessary for the Old Testament things to be purified with those Old Testament blood of bulls and goats. But the heavenly things, the true New Testament things for you, had to be made pure by better sacrifices than the Old Testament. What's the sacrifice? Gwyn? Jesus on his cross. That is the pure blood that can make you pure. For we read in Hebrews 9 again, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? What gets purified when you believe in Jesus Christ? Your conscience, which is no more sin. I've forgiven that, God says, taken it away. You're clean. I've counted you as righteous for the sake of my Son. You are pure in my eyes, and I gift you a new heart with it, and the Holy Spirit in your heart. My own divine nature, a pure heart he gives you. He takes out the heart of stone and gives you a heart of flesh, like his own. And we read, Peter says, God cleansed our hearts by faith. Praise God. Hebrews 10, draw near now boldly with a true heart to God in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean, say the word clean, from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's baptism. So look at that. Step two is to acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Savior and call upon his name. That is the second thing you ever say in complete agreement with God, who has said, I sent my Son to be your Savior to purify you. So praise God, you're now saved. That's step number two. So confess your iniquity, number one, your impurity. Secondly, call on Jesus to be purified. What's step three, the last of the three? Well, the third one is God calls us then, being saved, to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in our getting more and more pure in our lives as we go. Now, you're already counted as pure and have a pure heart through Christ and his blood, but you know what? We still got impurity in our flesh, right? Don't you feel it? When you want to do the right thing, evil lies close at hand. You look into your heart and you're like, ugh, I still have cravings for bad things, and lusts and greed keeps popping up. What is that? Well, that's not the center of your heart. That's in your flesh and your body. The Holy Spirit, then, let's say this is the Holy Spirit. Look, I got a big pitcher. Ooh, a pitcher. He comes to then purify you more and more and to change even the rest of you into a pure life more and more as you go. That's called sanctification, purifying you to be like Jesus. So how do you get to be pure by the Holy Spirit? How do you cooperate? Number one, you know this one really well there, Art. Set your mind on the things that are pure. You can quote this verse, I know. Philippians 4. Finally, brethren, says Paul, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, gracious, excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things and the God of peace will be with you. So the first thing we got to do that way is in our sanctification, purification, in your lives, set your minds on the pure things of heaven. We can focus on our phones, we can look at the news, we can get all out of sorts. That's not helping. Focus on God and the things of God, and every day you're going to be made more and more pure in your thoughts as you go by the Spirit. Secondly, he says, set your ears to hear this word continually, and your soul train to keep this word, to obey it. We actually are made pure as we learn to obey and follow what God says. For how can a young man keep his way pure, says Psalm 119. By guarding it according to thy word. That's how we do it. The promises of the Lord are promises that are pure, like silver refined in a furnace. The commandment of the Lord, it's pure. It enlightens your eyes. Sanctify my people, thy people, and thy truth, O God, says Jesus. Your word, that's what's true. So as we set our hearts and minds on this word and just continually fill us ourselves with this, it pours into us as if from a treasure chest on high, treasures of God, and it pushes out little by little more and more the evil that is in us as we go by the Spirit, the devil's lies. And thirdly, set your eyes simply on Jesus. He's the only pure one. Amen. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. He's the one that's going to make you pure. So if you look at the world and focus on those things, well, you'll look like the world then. If you look at Jesus, frankly, the Holy Spirit will take that and make you look more like him every day. And that's the goal. For everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. You ready for the big reveal? Okay. Watch yourselves here. I got the bowl. Yeah, I got the bowl. Watch out. You want to look like this, right? This is what you are in your flesh still. We got to get to this one, the pure one. So what does the Holy Spirit do? Well, as you do these things and focus on the Word, on pure things, on the Holy Spirit, on Jesus. I know, poor Vivian. He's pouring into us every day more and more. Oh my goodness. Until finally, look what we look like. Is that done? Is that totally pure? No, it's not totally pure? Okay. I thought, you know, heaven has a reservoir. There is so much grace in heaven. Let's keep going. Look, your sins are off of you now. Let's finish the job. The Holy Spirit keeps pouring in, keeps pouring in, keeps pouring in. Every day more and more. You're not going to be perfect in this life, but every day, look, he's making you, oh, it is pure now. I could actually drink this. Well, I could almost drink this now. I'll drink this one. I know this one's pure. Mm. And what is the great promise to you? As God is working all these great things in you, check it out. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Not everybody's going to get to do this. Moses tried, and God said, no man shall look at me and live. But now that Christ has come to purify you, oh man, what is before you now? Now we see in a mirror dimly, but on the day when he comes, you're going to see him face to face. Your eyes will see the king in his beauty, says Isaiah. You will behold a land that stretches afar, the kingdom. And your eyes will see his face, and his name shall be upon your forehead, says Revelation. And God will then be your light, and you shall reign with him forever and ever. That's the promise to those who are of a pure heart. And it's God who makes your hearts pure by his Spirit through Jesus Christ, the Savior. And we know that when he appears, we're going to be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So let's rejoice today in the purity and the salvation of our Lord. And say again there with Job, the great hope that we have. For I know that at the last I shall stand upon the earth, and he, my Redeemer, lives and shall stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, then from my flesh, raised and glorified, I shall see God, whom I shall see on my side, and not another. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, What Did Jesus Mean? Blessed Are the Pure in Heart, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the former Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great Captain of our soul, and God bless you.